Wait a second.
Jublix is not immune to acid. What? No resistance. Welcome to Monsters and Monster Class, your Dungeons and Dragons fix. I'm Eliotti.
I'm Jared Bornigal.
And I'm Will Meldon.
And we'll be hanging out with you for a while to talk about anything and everything D&D related. On this episode, we are taking a look at Jublix, the next demon lord that we're covering. That was a really unexciting sentence. Jared, take it away.
Jublix, the next demon lord that we are covering in our series of demon lords. We've gone through, I think, about half of them now, but Jublix is the faceless one. He is a mass of ooze and slime, and is definitely going to be the most chaotic of the demon lords, which is really saying something for demon lords, because mm-hmm. that's kind of their shtick. The being known as Jublix, who in previous editions is referred to as a he, but in 5th edition is just given it, so that's probably what we'll stick with, because we're mostly doing 5th edition, is a, yeah, just a mass of slime and sludge, and has the singular goal of corrupting everything that it can possibly get its hands on. Its followers are of the mentally unsound proportion, and they are usually have no goals themselves. They just want to be one with Jublix, and Jublix will use that by consuming these followers in whatever way he needs. It needs. That part's going to be tough. I read a lot of lore, and it was all he's. And
okay. Like,
fifth edition doesn't use it at all. Normally in the realm, the layer of the abyss, known as Shadakla, which is also a mass of bubbling ooze and fetid sludge, and is also home to Zugtamoy, and we'll probably get into their relationship ever so briefly, but they don't like each other, and that's that. So let's jump into the stat block.
Before that, sure. You right away you said probably the most chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
I think I disagree with that. Jublix is pretty predictable and pretty clear what its intentions are. Like it's if anything, you could count on Jublix just like wanting to consume, and that's it.
I guess that would be in a way.
And
lawful.
I guess yeah.
The law is just consume all that you can.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like Jublix wants to make everything itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not chaotic. That's kind of the opposite of chaos.
That's true. It has
No, it's kind of not the opposite of chaos, but it is not chaos. It's basically like it's this entropy of sorts. This everything dissolves and becomes one. So that's not, it's not lawful, that's for sure, but it's, I don't know.
It's where the chaos and lawful alignments break down. How about that?
Sure.
Into it's festering, slimy ooze.
Right, because it's an ooze.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the prince of oozes.
Yeah, not really the one
that... The faceless lord. Yeah.
Not the like, one that everybody's not really like, one to bring buying the, after.
Yeah, bring a morality into it. It's just... That's the point of like the ooze monsters, all the various... forms of that. It's like they're really not even sentient. They don't have they're more just like aggressive plants,
right? And that's
and Jublix is just like the king of aggressive plants. And I don't even know if it has wants. It just does.
Well, it has wants, and those wants are to eventually consume everything, but it's basically said that it doesn't have the ability to coordinate well enough to ever get to that point. It's just like there and trying, but not like actively trying. Yeah. It'd rather just hang out in its lair for its entire life and just control some oozes in far off corners and be like, all right, now you cause some chaos and maybe this will be the plan that does it. It's like, oh, it wasn't. All right, on to the next one.
Interesting, though. It does have 20 intelligence.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be lower.
Yeah, I think for demon lords, that's kind of low, but like 20 is 20.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, stat block.
Yeah, getting into that, it is a huge fiend demon, of course, and it says chaotic evil. Of course it is. I'm just pushing buttons there. And armor class of 18, HP of 350, speed of 30 feet, strength of +7, 0 to dex, +6 to con, +5 to intelligence, +5 to wisdom, and +3 to charisma, with saving throws in dexterity, constitution, and wisdom. It has one skill, and that is in perception, +12 to that. I'm sure that'll come up a lot. At least if your rogue's hiding, that'll come up. Damage resistance to cold, fire, and lightning, and damage immunities to poison, bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing that is non-magical. Then it has condition immunities to, I think, everything. I didn't actually check, but it's blinded, charmed, deafened, exhaustion, frightened, grappled, paralyzed, petrified, poisoned, prone, restrained, stunned, and unconscious.
Not incapacitated.
Okay.
That's a separate thing, right? Or is that just part of unconscious?
No, incapacitated is a specific thing.
There you go.
And invisible. Not that that's like a negative one.
Oh, right. It can be made invisible.
But otherwise, that's basically everything. So I wonder why everything but incapacitated.
They probably forgot.
Yeah, it's like going through, just listing them off. Like, what are all the conditions again? And they're like, I don't remember.
Do we even have spells that incapacitate? No, it'll be fine.
We do now.
Yeah, there is one.
Yeah, we ran into that. Yeah, the psychic lance in Fizzbuns. I forgot the full name of it. Starts with an R.
That's good enough, psychic lance.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, fun little deviation from that. The Tarrasque is also not immune to incapacitation. And so you could incapacitate the Tarrasque with that psychic lance, which is an intelligence saving throw.
Yeah, pretty easily, I would say. You can pretty easily incapacitate a Tarrasque.
Yeah. So now Jublix as well, because it only has a +5.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
And save.
Pretty all right chances to make it fail.
Yeah.
So then, moving on, it does have senses, true sight of 120 feet, passive perception of 22. It knows all languages and has telepathy out to 120 feet, and is a challenge rating 23. Has at least one passive, has a couple of passives, but starting with foul, any creature other than an ooze that starts its turn within 10 feet of Jublix must succeed on a DC 21 constitution saving throw or be poisoned until the start of the creature's next turn. So just constant concern that you're going to get poisoned. I don't find poison to be a very scary thing, just because there's so many ways to get around the poison condition. Hero's Feast is kind of the big one that would come up in these later levels, but it still takes your party knowing that they're going to be fighting a demon lord.
I would hope they know they're about to do that.
I mean, I don't know. This is like a random encounter for level 18 to
20s. Sure, yeah.
When you get there, he just shows up at your house sometimes.
Right.
And like, actually, there are segments in, I guess this is out of the spoilers, but where that happens.
Right, where Jublix just kind of is a problem.
Yeah, and other demon lords.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
You guys actually killed Yinogu.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah. And you just, like, that wasn't planned. You didn't, like, all right, we gotta hunt down Yinogu. He's causing problems. You just, like, ran into him in a cave and killed him.
Dumped a lot of smites into that bad boy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a pretty neat ability. It definitely has your martial characters having to be a little bit nervous when they're up in the fray. 21 constitution saving throws, it's not a low number, and they're going to fail one of those inevitably.
Right. Yeah, and poison, of course, being the condition that applies disadvantage to all attack rolls and ability checks.
Yeah.
Yep, and I like how this doesn't have a... like an immunity clause. A lot of these things, like, once you succeed, you're immune to for 24 hours. It's like, nope, every round.
Deal with it.
Yep.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say is that as a DM, I find these types of abilities very difficult to remember. They're just hard. I don't know. It's like something that I would rather just put on the players and tell them, like, hey, if you're within 10 feet, let me know. Because whatever reason, I forget these AoE, these constant AoE ones every single time.
Yeah, they can be hard to remember.
Yeah, totally. I'll let you. I'll remind you.
Yeah, right. I know this table. You guys would be like, yeah, we'll tell you. Don't worry. We want the game to be fair.
Yeah, we really, really are like that. There's a few times I'll remember when it's too late and just never bring it up, but
you're like,
at that point, it's just not worth the discussion.
You're like, I'm totally honest all the time, except for the times when I just am not.
When I just straight up lie. It depends. Does it benefit me? Then I'll lie. If it doesn't, you know.
It's not true. You've brought up stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Anyways, it does have spell casting. This is innate spell casting, so it's not like a wizard or anything. It's charisma is the ability. Save DC of 18, plus 10 to hit with spell attacks. And it can at will cast Acid Splash and detect magic. And that Acid Splash comes out at 17th level, so pretty darn powerful. 46.
46, yeah.
And then three times a day it can cast Blight, Contagion, and Gaseous Form.
So, Blight's a big scary one. 88 necrotic damage. If you're somehow playing a plant, it's maximized.
No, I'm forgetting the name of those little plant creatures. The ones that are made by rust.
Vegipygmies.
That was it. Okay, there's no Vegipygmy race just yet.
No. Yeah, there's no way to play a plant race yet. Like, as terms of published.
No.
So, Contagion is one of those spells. It's always talked about in length about a character having it in casting it in combat. And it's kind of ultimately gotten to the point where it's like, it's not that great. Because it needs to, every turn, they need to roll a save. And then if they get three successes, they're fine. If they get three fails, it comes into effect. And usually at that point in combat, it doesn't matter anymore. Yeah. It's like the combat's over three, four rounds in. But I don't know. I could see it being worthwhile for like a big boss monster to cast it. Especially something like Jublex, so that could be tricky in its lair and pop out and cast it on somebody. And then send a bunch of oozes after him, but Jublex itself flees.
I would say it adds a level of... It adds like a timer to things. And I think that aspect makes it interesting, where you know every single round you have to roll, and if you fail three times, this fight's going to get exponentially harder because you're now, you know, blinded, or you're now having vulnerability to all damage. That's flesh rot.
Right.
I mean, that one sucks. So if it does go off, yeah, it's intimidating. So it might be worth it for the intimidation factor. If it wasn't a whole action to cast, and if it had a legendary action that allowed it to cast a spell.
Right.
Or even if it could be upcast on multiple characters. And that's something that you might just want to, you know, it makes the fight more challenging, so keep this in mind. But if you're the DM and you want to make this more interesting, have it so that Contagion's cast on everyone at the start of the fight. And that's it. That's the start of the fight. It's going to be a lot harder if it goes off.
That's cool. I like that. Just kind of like a scripted thing at the beginning.
Yeah.
Something about the layer doing it or whatever.
Sure, sure.
Like the air around them, yeah.
It's that idea that Contagion is a bad spell, but an interesting idea.
Yeah. And if you do that, randomize it, because like if you optimize it, they're screwed.
Yes. Don't do flesh rot for everyone.
Or mind fire.
Which
or blinding sickness on your spellcast.
Mindfire. So the creature has disadvantage on intelligence checks and saving throws and behaves if under the effects of the confusion spell during combat. This lasts for 7 days.
Yeah, confusion is really strong.
Yeah.
It is always weird though, because it's like, why not just cast confusion?
Because this lasts for 7 days.
Yeah, okay. Generally not that useful, but...
I mean, amazingly, confusion is 4th level. This is 5th level. It's not like this huge thing.
Oh, okay. But yeah, and it's
but, you know,
doing the disadvantage on intelligence checks and saving throws. So, yeah, I mean, I think randomizing it would be good. 6, it's just roll a d6 and figure out which one you want to give.
Yeah, or Slimy Doom.
Which is pretty fitting.
Begins to bleed uncontrollably. The creature has disadvantage on constitution checks and constitution saving throws. In addition, whenever the creature takes damage, it is stunned until the end of its next turn.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a rough spell.
So definitely
this spell's like awesome, but sucks so hard because it's just useless. It's a touch spell. It's fifth level. If you miss, nothing ever happens at all. It's so... I've had this like auto-prepared on the Spore Druid the entire time we played. Never even thought about casting this, to be honest. Aww.
It's good for an out-of-combat spell because it's 7 days. So if you get... If it is a preparation... Like, know what's going to be going down, manage to, like, get this casted on, like, you know, handshake to somebody, and then you go back later that night
so
to
if
finish them or something.
If you can, like, but, silently cast it, because otherwise they're going to be like, oh, I need to deal with this in some other way, like, just getting rid of a disease.
That's true.
Because it is just a disease.
Right. Which, I mean, 5 points and land hands, I think. Gets rid of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lesser restoration.
So same deal. Pretty in sure. combat, that's cool. Because if I'm having a paladin use 5 points of lay on hands and an action instead of attacking, great. Fantastic use. If the big bad is affected by this and all they have to do is, I don't know, find somebody who can get rid of a disease, drink a potion that can cure a disease, whatever. It's not... It's really not doing that much. It might be better from a flavor perspective of making the king sick for a couple of days if you're like, I could set up an extremely elaborate reason why that would be helpful. But let's just say, as a whole, for political means, I could see making somebody sick for 7 days being worthwhile.
Sure. But if someone's gonna have easy, if someone's going to have easy access to magical cure diseases, it's going to be a king. I mean... They probably have a cleric on retainer. And...
Unless you also cast it on the cleric.
Well, then they could just cast it on themselves, too.
Well, then we kill the cleric. Oh! Okay. Yeah.
But not the king.
Not the king. Well, that's too hard, obviously. The cleric's a lot easier to access.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then this is just like a big ploy to get ourselves employed. And then we present, like, oh, you missing a cleric, you're really sick. Like, man, this looks very serious. We could take care of this for you. And then we're like in the king's good graces. There we go.
And then...
It's like the movie Parasite.
All right.
Have you seen that?
No, I haven't. That's the,
it's
the
okay.
Korean
it's
film.
It's nothing right? like the movie Parasite. Okay.
It kind of is. Elaborate schemes to get these specific people into employment here just for the sake of employment.
I gotta watch that movie. That won a lot of awards.
It was very good.
Anyways, so Contagion aside, I stand by my statement of use it at the beginning of combat. I think it could be interesting. It sets kind of a timer mechanic, which is always really cool in these types of games or in combat. Then we do have Gaseous Form up next. And that is a spell.
It's a really good PC spell.
Yes, it is.
I don't know if it's great for a thing like Juplex.
Probably not so much for a creature that has immunity to all conditions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a use for this except for maybe escape if for some reason you're trying to get out. But it actually just brings up an issue I take with this stat block as a whole, is that Gaseous Form is generally good for, let's say, squeezing through a 1-inch area if you need to get through like a crack in the wall. Most slimes that I know of have the ability to do that innately, where they can squeeze through a small hole of some sort. Jublex mm-hmm. does not. Jublex has no squeezing capabilities in 5th edition. I believe other editions it is brought up, but I think Gaseous Form is supposed to take the place of that, and I don't know why.
Yeah. Huh. Maybe something with its size category.
I don't agree with that.
Some unwritten rule somewhere where there's no huge...
It literally talks about how Jublex can shrink down to like a small size if needed, and then, you know, rise up to be a 20-foot pillar. It's like, oh, it has total control over its body shape. Then just put the thing in there. Put the thing in there that tells us that has control over its body shape.
Yeah, that's really fair. Yeah, I don't know why it's not there.
So there's my pointless critique.
Yes.
There you go. Put it down. Another one. Another point. Mm-hmm. and that's all the spells. So it is by no means a varied spellcaster, but it's got a couple of things that, I don't know, Blight's cool. I like Blight.
Yeah, And yeah, Acid Splash is a legendary action. It's neat.
Yeah, and we'll get to that. That's where that really comes up. Otherwise, it's not worth it.
No.
Then we have legendary resistances, 3 a day, par for the course for something this powerful. And if you don't know what that is that if it fails a saving throw, it can choose to succeed instead. Then we have magic resistance. So Jubilix has advantage on saving throws against spells and any other magic effect. And it has magical weapons. So its weapons attacks are magical, which means Heavy Armor Master would be worthless.
Throwback to last episode.
Yeah. Okay, but if there's something that Heavy Armor Master should be worthless against, it's the giant slime monster that corrodes everything.
Yes.
Not that it does bludgeoning, piercing, or slashing.
That's what I'm saying. It should be totally worthless in this case.
Right.
But then it has regeneration, so Jubilex regains 20 HP at the start of its turn. If it takes fire or radiant damage, this trait does not function at the start of its next turn. Jubilex dies only if it starts its turn with 0 HP and doesn't regenerate.
I always love good regeneration on a tough monster.
Yeah, and this might...
20 points is a lot.
It definitely is, and this is one that I don't think is going to be discovered right away. I don't know if somebody looks at a slime and says, I should do radiant damage or I should do fire damage.
Yeah, maybe Radiant just because it's a demon.
Yeah, which you're, if you have a paladin, they're going to be doing anyways.
Right. Otherwise, yeah, if you don't have a paladin, radiant damage is not... Oh, I guess clerics.
Clerics, with, yeah. And then druids Moonbeam, I believe, is radiant.
Is that radiant? Yep. Oh, okay.
So there's a couple options
that's
here
not
and there.
Fitting at all.
But it's... Huh.
What should it be? It's a beam of moon.
Bludgeoning? I don't know. You know, just like mini moons.
It's a beam of moons is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Dropping celestial bodies. I believe that's called meteor swarm.
But they're mini.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Let's
like the size of like a softball.
Next is spider climb, where Jubilex can climb difficult surfaces, including upside down on ceilings, without needing to make an ability check. Should be.
Yep. It's fitting, cool. Neat. Yep. Plenty of fun uses. Drop Jubilex down on the party, like a Zelda boss.
Yeah. Then on to actions, where it has multi-attack, and it can use its Acid Lash 3 times, which is a melee weapon attack, plus 4 to hit, reach of only 10
14.
Feet. Sorry, yeah, that's...
Yes, big difference.
How numbers work. Yeah, plus 14 to hit. And it's a single target attack, does 46 plus 7 acid damage, and any creature killed by this attack is drawn into Jubilex's body, and the corpse is obliterated after 1 minute. So more of those lovely timers to be added.
Mm-hmm.
And so that comes out to average of 21 damage, 3 times a turn, so that's 63 damage 63. Per round. Without legendary actions, so that's pretty good.
For what Jubilex is, I would say that's pretty good. That falls behind a lot of the other Demon Lords, but a lot of the other ones are like the big hulking beasts of combat. This is kind of the corrosive, slow oozing slime.
Yeah.
They'll probably be surrounded by other slimes. I'm okay with its damage being less because it's kind of hard to manage this thing in any other way.
Right.
Range bugs me, to be totally honest.
10.
I agree with that. I think that's a little bit low. With, again, it being described as able to shape its body, I can't imagine that extending further than 10 feet is that difficult of a task for it. So, bit disappointed there. It obviously has Acid Splash for any range stuff, but that's just harder to justify because it's only single target, two if they're standing right next to each other, and it's save or suck. So... You know, one deck save and you're fine.
Oh, and I was totally wrong about its damage. It's base attacks, like so not counting legendary actions yet. Out damages all the other Demon Lords.
Oh, seriously? At 63?
Yeah. Yeah, Baphomet does a 21 plus 19, so what?
40.
50? 40, yeah, thank you. And then plus 17, so 57.
Okay.
Demogorgon does 2 tentacle attacks, each one doing 28.
We've talked about this. Yeah, every Demon Lord is just a massive friggin' joke.
Right. So yeah, Jublix is actually currently winning.
Okay. I guess
I
it has pretty damaging legendary actions too, so that's probably going to hold that.
Or my comment about being good if it's low damage. Its damage is kind of high compared to the other Demon Lords.
Strike it from the record. Let it be known it has been stricken. And then we have Eject Slime as its other action that it can do. And this is a recharge ability of 5 or 6, which means at the beginning of combat, it just has it flat out. But then once it is used, start of every turn, you roll a d6 on a 5 or 6, you get the ability back again. Doesn't need to do it right away, but it can. And this is Eject Slime, so it spews out a corrosive slime targeting one creature it can see within 60 feet. Target must make a DC 21 dex saving throw. On a failure, the target takes 10d10 acid damage, or 55 on average. Unless the target avoids taking any of this damage, any... Oh, so that means even on a... Does it take half damage on a success? Sorry, it... Okay.
No.
The way it was phrased, it looked like it was saying...
Yeah.
Okay, so either way, unless the target avoids taking any of this damage, so on a success, but on a failure, any metal armor worn by the target takes a permanent -1 penalty to the AC it offers. Any metal weapon it is carrying or wearing takes a permanent -1 penalty to damage rolls, and the penalty worsens each time a target is subjected to this effect. If the penalty on an object drops to -5, the object is destroyed. And note that it does not say non-magical weapons. Whereas, like, the Black Pudding specifies it's only non-magical, this is all weapons and armor.
Oh, that's terrible. I'd love to see this as an AoE, though. Instead of a single target.
Yeah. That's pretty evil of you. But yeah. I agree. I think it will also be very difficult, for better or for worse, to get to -5 on an object when this is a recharge ability and the entire action.
Right.
And they have a dex save that they can make. You're probably going to kill the person first. And it does 55
friggin' damage.
I said, you're going to kill him
before. If you do 250 damage to them over the course of like 6 days.
Look, we have a life
cleric.
Would
you let this stack with other oozes?
I would.
Yeah, like Black Puddings and whatnot, which I know, non-magical, but like...
Yes, definitely think that it would stack. And that was what I was trying to look for originally was, is there a way that this would easily stack on magical items to destroy them? Because then it could be a magic item killer if you're, you know, the DM who accidentally gave a +3 maul to a barbarian who doesn't need it. It's an option. But
no. That said, I would not let this destroy artifacts of any sort. That seems a little ridiculous. So when you do that, you're screwed. Sorry, DM.
Don't give him Wave and Wilm.
Or like Black Razor or something. I don't know. If something were to destroy those type of magic items, I think like the literal Demon Lord of Corrosion would do it. Like that would be the way to do it.
Yeah.
No, you have to throw them into a volcano. It's very clear.
And White Plume Mountain specifically, right?
Something like that.
Yeah. That's where you get them, at least in the adventures that we ran. But I am noticing, or I guess reminding you, it does say a permanent -1 penalty to the AC or the damage rolls. So is there even a way to fix this?
Nothing that's written.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you could work with the DM and figure out something. But
yeah. But even a -3 to your AC, just like that's... If you had +1 armor, you're like, well, crap, I need new armor. This armor sucks now.
Yep.
So pretty all right ability. I agree. I think it should be AoE though.
Well, also boosting the other Demon Lords because Jublix is already stronger than the other one. So boost the other Demon Lords and then boost Jublix by giving.
If I were to AoE. Tweak this, ignoring the other Demon Lords, I would drop the damage from 10d10 and probably get it closer to like an average of 40 damage and let it be like a 10-foot radius. Yeah, not even anything gigantic, but just enough to hit 2, maybe 3. And then you're doing 80 damage, which is more, but still.
Right.
I wouldn't keep it at 55. That's brutal.
No.
And that's
I see absolutely using this when it comes up.
Yeah.
Over the 3 acid lash attacks.
Yeah, I mean, even if the damage doesn't come out as better, it's scary. I mean, Mm-hmm. Getting your armor corroded, getting your weapon corroded is a painful experience for everyone.
Right. Though the all or nothing really sucks. DC 21 dexterity save, which could absolutely be passed a lot. Like my bard rogue has a +9 to his dex save.
Oh, that's it?
Nowhere near the level of fighting Jublex. Yeah. So, that would kind of like the entire action. All right, maybe not make an AoE, and it's the Jublex makes 3 acid, the multi attack is 3 acid lash attacks, and eject slime when available. Make one of those multi attacks.
Oh.
Leave it as is, but.
Yeah, I like that. Those are good. Kind of like the. Mm-hmm. I can't remember another example, but that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Definitely down for that. All right, then that's all of its actions. On to legendary actions. So legendary actions are things it can take between other people's turns, cannot be used at the end of its own turn, has to be another creature's, and it regains legendary actions at the start of its turn. So for one cost, we have Acid Splash, so it can cast the cantrip Acid Splash, so it has at least one ranged option. Again, it's not that amazing. DC 18 and 4d6 damage if somebody's right next to that creature.
Two, yeah.
It does have a... Yeah, basically, if there's two creatures next to each other, you can try and hit them both. Then it can make its Acid Lash attack. So if you need a couple more of those, only costs one as well. And then for so two...
Essentially double its damage up to 126 in a round.
Yep. Blowing the fuck out of any other Demon Lord. Mm-hmm. and then for two actions, we get Corrupting Touch, which is +14 to hit, reach of 10... single creature it can target, and also does 4d6 +7 poison damage, but the target gets slimed like a Nickelodeon award show, and until the slime is scraped off with an action, the target is poisoned, and any other creature other than the ooze is poisoned while within 10 feet of the target. So it basically adds its foul ability without a save to one of your party members.
Yeah. That's amazing. I like that a lot. And that's a really interesting choice of like, all right, who's going to sacrifice their action to scrape this off?
Right.
Because you're going to need to. Because just consistently being poisoned like that. Unless, as you said from the beginning, you find a way to become immune to poison, then this whole fight's kind of crap anyways.
But that's the issue, is that poison's really easy to find, you know, resistance to poison or... immunity potions, like they're
right,
it's the most commonly resisted thing, so it just seems like it's,
yeah,
it can fall, exactly.
Hero's Feast
yep. is immunity to poison,
right? And then if you find a way to become resistance to acid, it's like, that's it, this thing does nothing else, it does acid damage and it poisons you.
That's what I was gonna say. We said this is like vastly more powerful than the other Demon Lords, but that's like kind of not true when you remember that this is a resistible damage type that's not that hard to resist.
It's not irresistible. Yeah.
Absorb elements, for instance. Just walk up, be the only person in range. Now it does half damage. Kind of sucks.
Isn't that just for one source, or does it last the round?
I
can never remember.
I think it lasts
the
round.
I know that's shield. I always think we get it confused with shield. You have resistance to the triggering damage type until the start of your next turn.
Yep.
There we go.
Damn. And yeah, acid,
which
is absolutely one of the triggering
brutal
damage types.
One level spell.
And just your reaction. It's not even like you need like take an action to cast it.
It's kind of funny because like it comes up a lot at our table because I love doing big bouts of elemental damage. I mean, who doesn't? And usually abilities like that make me... Not angry is the wrong word for it, but there's like times where you want an attack to be intense, but some of those, it's like you do absorb elements will, and I'm just like, oh, thank God, because it's just like 70 damage that you were going to get obliterated by, and you're like, nope, I'm good. And then everybody else
gets
obliterated. And then you
can give it back to him with 1d6.
Oh, yeah.
The worst aspect of that spell.
Yeah.
It's just a little nugget on top. Huh.
Wait a second.
Jublex is not immune to acid.
What
resistance.
The?
That makes no sense.
Yeah, that's immediately what my head went to. I'm like, wait, no, it's, what the hell is this?
The timing of you two both discovering that at the same time, I just want, like, you to zoom in really closely on the stat block when you, like, have it up on the screen for everyone. Just like, wait a minute. Also too much effort, I'm sure. But imagine that happened, viewers.
We'll see. It always depends how the week goes with my editing.
Right.
If it goes quick and I have extra time, I add in the little stuff. But.
So, regardless, yeah, not immune to acid. I can't think of a single explanation as to why.
I mean, it's literally acid. It's like sentient acid.
I don't know. Like, I need to ask somebody who knows chemistry. If I, like, mix two acids, do they eat away at each other? It sounds like the dumbest thing I've ever said. That's why I'm saying it doesn't make sense. But, like, I need to make sure. There are people smarter than me who might know and say, actually, when you put this acid, which is much stronger than this one, they fight each other. Right? That's how chemicals work. They're just exchanging bonds and fighting.
He nailed it.
All right, so let's just throw science out and just say that's a really stupid, really bad oversight.
All right, layer actions, round this out.
Yeah. You want to take over from here?
This. Yeah. So layer actions, these are the identicals to every other layer action. They happen on initiative count 20. There's a list of three in this case, and they can't use the same effect two rounds in a row. So Jublix, it has three of them. Jublix slimes a square area of the ground it can see within the layer. The area can be up to 10 feet on a side. The slime lasts for 1 hour or until it is burned away with fire. When the slime appears, each creature in that area must succeed on a DC 21 strength save or become restrained. When a creature enters the area for the first time on a turn or ends its turn there, it also must make the same save. A restrained creature is stuck as long as it remains in the slimy area or until it breaks free. The restrained creature or another creature that can reach it can use its action to try and break free and must succeed on another DC 21 strength check. If the slime is set on fire, it burns away after one round. Any creature that is in the burning slime starts to turn there, takes 4d10 fire damage. This is an amazing layer action. I feel like layer actions are usually very lukewarm.
Yeah.
Very middling. This is great. Like, I would want to, like, choose between this one and another one. It's always go back to this one. Restrain's a really scary effect. DC 21 strength save. And then, or later on, check to break it. And you're going to make this a lot. So when it first appears, if you enter your turn there on a turn, or end your turn there. So you can be making this twice in a round.
Yeah.
Three times, technically. If you'd have to be kind of dumb. You'd just be standing in it, but... Like, it gets cast and you make it and you pass. Then you start your turn there and you have to make this check again and you pass. And then for some reason, don't leave the area. Then you have to make it a third time.
I can see if you're like a wizard and you have like, you're like, I'm not planning on moving anyways. And if I am, it's going to be through Misty Step. So I'm just going to sit here. I don't care. Maybe I succeed. Right. Probably won't with a DC 21. That's the only thing I could think of.
Right.
It really depends on the battlefield, though, too, because these will eventually start to accumulate into... just a very restrictive set of tiles that you would struggle to avoid in some situations.
Right. It lasts an hour.
And his lack of ability to do the slime-like munch thing, I think, was a mistake. Like, he should be able to bash you into this or something. I don't know.
Yeah, like pushing them into the slime?
Yeah. You want to move, so you take a risk and go through this rather than getting, like, subsumed by him.
Okay.
Oh, you mean like a gelatinous cube where it's like they can like go in your space and you're inside of them and it's then a really bad time.
Yeah, so it would have these would be things that you could get pinned against essentially. But
Yeah, I guess back to the stat block, Jublix really could have benefited from something like the gelatinous cube where it could kind of just move into your space and absorb you. And you're not just
it can absorb you.
But you take damage inside of it and
right.
It's like, you know, difficult to get out.
I don't know.
More and more, I think we need to do a Demon Lords reworked, which I don't know if that'd be episodes because we're kind of already talking about them, but just I would like to do something. It seems
that could be fun. Just homebrewing our own Demon Lords.
Yeah. But I did not realize when I first read this that it lasted for an hour. I forgot about that. Right. Because most layer actions, it's like, I put up this giant wall, and then it disappears next turn. And it's not that big of a deal, but it is. It keeps the fight dynamic. But this is a... It's adding on to that idea of, this is a fight you need to end quickly. And Jublex is not going to make that easy between Contagion, between this layer action and the next one, and between its regeneration ability. If it goes on, it will only get stronger and harder to fight, and you're going to have less and less of a chance.
For sure.
And I really, really want to see some way where it intentionally burns the slime when people are restrained. But that's not very fitting for the actual slime monster.
No, no ways to do fire. I'm trying to think of any of
a creature minions. Like this would avoid it at all possible. Any possible source of flame would seem like we're boating in this particular realm.
Yeah, it kills its regeneration and everything.
The only thing,
even though it's resistance to it because it's a demon. That's so weird, but it
makes sense. The only thing I could think is that it talks about how most creatures are not... Most demon lords try to get other demons in their army. Jublex is not one of those demon lords. It is pretty cool with just having oozes be its bud. That said, there are at least one or two times mentioned where non-oozes are corrupted by Jublex. So I could see a cool minion idea that's like, it's one of the minions that's basically turned into a slime demon, and great, you have this setup where it can make fire for this purpose. And that's not in the fifth edition stuff. That's just like lore that was read up on other places.
Yeah.
So if you really want to go for that, then like there's your in. It's like, oh yeah, this is the minion that was corrupted by ooze, and it's, if you get into the slime, it's going to light it on fire.
Right.
A cultist would fit that too. Just a
completely
deranged guy who runs into the slime when you're there and drops a torch and says, join the slime!
We'll call him the Pudding King.
Yeah.
That was also out of the abyss.
Yes. Yes. All right. Moving on. Next layer action. Very similar to the first one. So slime's a square area. I won't read it in detail. Just 10 feet on a side, lasts for an hour until burned away. When it appears, another... This one's a DC-20 on dex save, where you fall prone inside 10 feet in a random direction determined by a D8 roll. When it enters there the first time or ends its turn there, must make the save again. Again, if the slime is set on fire, burns away in one round, and does 4d10 fire damage to anyone in it.
So very interesting, and you can set this up with the other layer action to like hopefully slide them in a direction of the other slime. That said, very confusing to run with two different slime types covering a battlefield. Remembering which is which sounds pretty annoying.
Yeah, just color code them.
Nope, I refuse.
It's, but if for some reason in my mind, strength would be green and dex is blue.
Interesting. I've never considered dex to be blue. I guess I've considered it more like yellow or something.
I don't know. Nope, strength screen. No, it's dex yellow. Is blue.
Okay. Wisdom's blue, like obviously, or intelligence. Ugh.
There's absolutely a term for this, like attributing like different senses to something.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I forgot what it is, but.
Synesthesia.
It's synesthesia. Thank you.
Is that it? Okay.
Yeah, definitely synesthesia.
I don't know if this counts as synesthesia, but I don't know if all things have that. But in my mind, strength is green and dex is blue.
No, strength is red, dex is yellow, all mental stats are blue.
Okay.
Why? Because that's the resource bar in World of Warcraft.
Okay. Now that makes sense.
That's pretty good.
That's actually probably why I'm associating dex with yellows, because stamina bars. Anyways,
this was definitely not as good as the other one, but good in combination against it. You can't use the other one every time. This is not a bad one to alternate with.
Right, and I think the the battlefield at the end of this fight is going to be so interesting. Like, everywhere mm-hmm. you step, you're either sliding or you're getting restrained, and it just sounds so difficult.
Yeah, and then this last one adds to that. It's just green slime. So a green slime appears on a spot on the ceiling that Jublux chooses within the lair, and it disintegrates after 1 hour. Green slime is a dungeon hazard in the Dungeon Master Guide, so that's important to cover as well. It's an acidic slime, devours flesh, organic material, and metal on contact. So it clings to walls or ceilings. So a patch of green slime becomes 5 foot square, has blindsight out to 30 feet, and if something comes under it, it'll drop on it. It's completely blind outside of 30 feet. A creature that is aware of the slime's presence that's falling can avoid being struck with a DC 10 dex save. Otherwise, it just happens because you don't know what's happening to you. It just falls on you, and that's how you learn it's there. A creature that has been green slimed takes 1d10 acid damage at the start of each of their turns until it is scraped off or destroyed.
Nah, this ain't it. This sucks.
What?
For Jublex being able to use this, it's not that great.
It just adds a layer action.
Yeah, but it's got between those other two, I'd rather bounce between those than ever waste you my think? Time using this. This would be interesting to already have in the lair set up as random
parts. For sure. I think you would, yeah.
But I wouldn't like take a layer action to use that. The fact that it lasts an hour would allow for setup as well if they're coming to fight it in the lair. And mm-hmm. you just, you know, as a DM, you got your map and you just kind of specify in your head these 10 points already have green slimes, and when somebody right. walks into them, it's a trap.
Right.
That they're probably going to avoid because it's a DC 10 dex save.
Well, if they know it's there.
Oh.
It's like you have to be looking up and know, all right, I'm going to step into the space and a green slime will fall and I will try to dodge it. Otherwise, it's automatic. It just gets hit.
That's fair.
Yeah. So those are the layer actions. Definitely worthwhile. Pretty neat.
Yeah. Some of the more fun ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Then there are some regional effects. So these happen within the region of the layer. And we talk about this every single time. The layers in the Abyss, where it's like, so the region around is already weird and warped. Anyways, I think the best way to do this is like there's a portal to his layer in the material plane or around it. And then around there starts getting warped with these effects. But small bodies of water, such as ponds or wells, within 1 mile, the layer turn highly acidic, corroding any object that touches them. Surfaces within 6 miles of the layer are frequently covered by a thin film of slime, which is slick and sticks to anything that touches it. And then if you spend at least 1 hour within 1 mile of the layer, you need to make a DC 18 wisdom save or descend into madness, and they have a madness table. You could, you're immune from this for 24 hours, if you succeed.
So everything being sticky... Obviously,
yeah.
Fantastic. No, I mean,
water.
Yeah, it's nothing too crazy interesting, but it's cool.
Yep, and then to round it out, just kind of the last thing here, the Madness of Jublex table. All Demon Lords have this. These are new flaws that are added until cured, and like I think Greater Restoration can do it, and things like that. These are things like, I must consume everything I eat. I'll do everything I can to get others to eat and drink beyond their normal limits. That's a weird one. Kind of gross.
Yeah.
my personality is irrelevant, and I am defined by what I consume. I guess there's only two more. I'll just read them. I refuse to part with all my possessions. I must possess as many material goods as I can.
Yeah, when it says my personality is relevant, I'm defined by what I consume. Is that just like if you eat... like turkey that night, you're just like, I am turkey. Everything about my life is turkey until you eat a new thing. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, it's a weird one.
No, it's just everything you talk about is going to be about what you ate or drank.
Or like a play that you saw last week.
And it's going to be about like your next opportunity to eat or drink a thing.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Which ironically, this is like the one thing that is, these are really kind of easy to live with. You could be this. It's obnoxious, but you could do this for an entire campaign, and it would just be like a reasonable
fact. It's true. Some of them are like, you want to murder, and murder is the only murder that you can murder. It's like, okay, that's not going to last for long before people are a little upset. But this, if your entire personality flaw is doing everything you can to get others to eat and drink beyond their normal limits. I mean, that can just be funny. Like, I could see that being a character trait that somebody has.
It now, depends how far you take
that's
it.
That's what I was going to say. The madness.
How you interpret everything I can.
The madness.
If you start getting physical, that's.
Yeah. Yes. That always is a
not,
line.
Not quite as okay. Or go the Seven route, the movie.
Which
oh
seven, the not the the movie is called Seven.
Okay,
not yeah,
that specific.
The scene, the gluttony. Sin. Yeah, they kill everyone through. You look confused, Jared. Have you not seen it?
Not yet. No, it's on my list.
Ah, yeah, it's the serial killer kills everyone through like a deadly sin.
Okay,
and it gluttony gets gross. Is one of them. Gluttony. Yeah, we won't go into detail because yeah, whatever. But it's
all I know is that I still don't know what's in the box, so I've avoided spoilers for this long.
Right. It's been like 25 years.
Look, not everything comes into my purview. I don't know what you want me to tell you. But what I was going to say is that madness, the flaw that I always find in madness is the lack of layers or build up to it. And I think that's if madness comes up at the table again, I would definitely have it where it is your compulsion towards it rises with time. So the first day you might just say, I'm, you know, like, hey, you know, we've got some extras. Like, how about you guys eat? Everybody eat. You know, we've got extra food. And everyone's like, well, we have rations that are supposed to last us a little bit of time. And the person's just a little pushy, you know, like, drink the water, eat the food. That's fine. We'll find more. We'll always find more. And then as time goes on, it starts to get bad and maybe turn violent. And in those cases, that's when it's an obvious problem. But madness, as it is laid out, feels very much like the next day you wake up and you're a totally different person. And that's what I hate about it.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Maybe we could have a whole conversation around madness. That could be a fun one.
Yeah, there we go.
But all of them are pretty similar here.
Yeah. That's Jublex. Just like all the other Demon Lords fighting it, it's probably needs to be a planned out thing. Like I said, portal to their realm, and it's messing things up. And so you prepare and march into the Abyssal Plains. Not Abyssal Plains. Just the Abyss. And march on Jublex Slayer.
Yeah, and this one's
kind of a whole bunch of oozes on the way.
I think kind of interesting, because most of the Demon Lords, there's not much moral ambiguity. I think we've had one Demon Lord who we were like, you know, I could see them having like a
Fraz Erblu.
Yeah, Fraz Erblu, where like maybe the party will work with them, or even if it turns bad, like there's conversations that could happen. Jublex feels like the most cut and dry bad creature I have probably ever seen.
Yeah.
Like there's not a single time where there's like any discussion around it. It's just if you want a Jublex fight, you don't even need to establish that much. I mean, you just kind of throw it in that like, yeah, Jublex is around and that's bad. And we all agree that that's not good. So stop it.
Yeah, it's the same with all oozes, all ooze monster types. It's the same thing. It's just like, yeah, they shouldn't be here.
Right. One thing that I was interesting in some of the lore that I read up on is it specified that Jublex can control any ooze in the world at any time, but it can only control like a couple at once. He doesn't have the ability to control every ooze in the world. Otherwise, it'd be way too powerful. So I could see that being like just a continuous plot point, even if your party never really goes into it much. But just Jublex is trying to make a vie for power in an area. And just oozes have been especially violent in the last couple of weeks. And maybe that's where it stops. Maybe it keeps coming up and your party progresses past the point where it's not in their job description anymore. You know, like level 16 fighters aren't going to be like, let's go find some goblins. They've really been terrorizing the neighborhood. But it could just be like a funny thing that keeps coming up until maybe later down the road they realize that it is because of Jublex and they've been hearing all these stories of oozes and it's like, oh, it's finally come together. This is what's been causing it. But otherwise, I don't know if I have many ways to really use Jublex, especially when they specify it's like, yeah, he doesn't leave that often. He likes staying in his lair. It's guarded by Zugtmoy, where like the layers that they have, if you like come to the Chicaldalak, I might be mispronouncing that. I don't feel like finding it again. If you come to that layer, it's like you're facing Zugtomoy first. And if you get around Zugtomoy, underneath that, you may find Juplex. So more stuff that's just like, as it's set up, there's a lot of reasons not to ever deal with Juplex.
Yeah. Okay, maybe it's a dealing with Juplex is a side quest and a greater thing, where you need like a handful of MacGuffins to, for a ritual or whatever. Okay. And one of them is acid from the body of Juplex. And that's like obviously a very intense thing that you need to plan out to figure out how you're going to get there and manage this and not die.
Yep. That's
and so it just makes, it's essentially a fetch quest, but a very interesting, high stakes, very major one.
Yeah. If you try to take out fetch quests in D&D, you're really like taking out a lot of D&D.
Yes.
At the end of the day, go here and do something is like, it's important. It's necessary.
Right.
But I don't really have any other ways I would use them. It's a slime monster.
Yeah. Speaking of slime monsters.
I thought you had a segue. I thought you were going to take it this time. I thought I was like, oh my gosh, I finally don't have to come up with one. Speaking of failing to come up with things, when I need descriptions, I go to Describe, one of our affiliates, and plug in whatever it is I'm trying to figure out, like, I don't know, oozes, and I can get expertly crafted box text that is endlessly helpful as a dungeon master. But recently they also added player options for box text. So if you're looking for spell descriptions or attack descriptions, and that's the type of table you've got where the DM's letting you do those descriptions, then you can very easily look it up, find descriptions for your character or your character's actions, and really just impress everybody at your ability to create flowery prose on the fly when in reality you are using a paid system. So check out Describe and lie to your friends about your abilities. And use the code MM10 to get 10% off your subscription. And once again, that helps the show. If you want to support the show in other ways, you can go to monstersandmulticlass.com/support. Find all of our other affiliates, find our patron, find whatever else. I think it's just those two things. Oh, and merch. We do have a merch store. We don't really push it that much, but if you want to buy a Monsters of Multiclass mug, you know where to go. All right, go to monstersofmulticlass.com/support. We got to get some mugs for this, so we're always drinking from our mugs.
Okay.
And as usual, thank you to our patrons: Luca L, Brian H, Craig A, Bob F, Ed G, Adam A, Star Shinobi, Sentinel D20, Isaac M, Vincent M, Joe P, and Jeff W. You're all extra awesome.
And as always, thanks for watching.